you.
What about this one for my nephew?
A superb choice.
Oh, great.
You provided he has already read Infinite Crisis and 52 and is familiar with the reestablishment of the DC multiverse.
Who am I, Cypher? The gayest X-Man?
I recently read this novel called Watchmen. I've never read a comic book like this. I used to read Betty comics, but that's it. I've never read, like, real comic books. This worked my out.
Excellent!
Hello, hello, hello. This is Chris and Eric's Songbox Adventure.
I'm Chris.
And I am Eric. This week, you are fulfilling a promise 2 years in the making with some Judge Dredd.
I mean, from that, you make it sound like I'm a big redhead, but I'm really not. This is one of, at this point, I think, 6 or 7 Judge Dredd comics that I've read.
Oh, I think I had a much different idea in my head then.
I mean, I've read the some of the like older stuff in volumes that have like a lot of, but out of the 2,372, at least at this point, it's a lot more actually, because they release weekly, like issues of 2000 AD. I have read less than 100 of them, so.
I might be mixing up this with you early on telling me about, I guess, a different character called that was either called or was the Dalek Killer or something like that.
Absalom Dark, yeah, who's kind of a Judge Dredd riff.
Okay.
In that same 80s British comics vein of being like a parody of fascism and the satire elements. The sheer number of 80s British characters who have extremely square chins and do things incredibly violently and over-the-toply in a way that is intentionally comedic. There's a bunch. Like, the two that I can think of because of personal experience, and I think they're probably the two that have lasted the longest as, like, major figures, if you could ever call Absalom Dark a major figure, are Dredd and Dark. But Dredd is the big one. There's a Sylvester Stallone movie about Judge Dredd.
This was not just like our first time doing it for the show, but my first time with any sort of Judge Dredd media at all. But my sense culturally and from this, is it fair to say, am I accurate in saying that's basically a British sci-fi sort of action satire on like American fascism and police culture?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bunch of British men in the 80s looking over at American police and being like, oh Lord, they have a lot of guns, don't they? And then making a comic about it.
That has continued to be relevant.
It only gains more relevance. Like the thing about Judge Dredd is, you read the earlier stuff, and a lot of it, the satire almost doesn't work in the same way that the Onion sort of started. Like, you couldn't tell if an act in the past, like say at this point 8 years or so, frequently there's like an Onion headline, and you're like, is that a real headline? You know, sometimes Judge Dredd, you're like, is this just a real thing now? You know, have we gone too far to be satired?
We've accelerated to the point where the past parody has just become the truth, yeah.
But yeah, this is Judge Dredd, A Better World. It's in Frog, which is what they call issues for 2000 AD, the comic anthology magazine that Judge Dredd is large. Well, Judge Dredd originated in and continues to be published in. There's also the Judge Dredd magazine, and then they also do sometimes standalone book releases that maybe have original stuff in them as well, as like collected editions. But this is in Prog's 2,364 through to 2,372. Because 2000 AD is a weekly magazine. So this was released in chunks of 6-page plot pieces. Despite that, I think it reads really well when you just have it all in a row. The way I found out that this story was even happening was Kieran Gillen got online talking about how great Judge Dredd was right now. And then I think maybe in part due to the like talk around the story, 2000 AD did a digital like bundle of these issues for cheap that I got. So I got this whole like set of, was it 8 issues? Yeah, 8 issues of 2000 AD for like $10 and digitally. I think they still have them set up that way. I think they're just going to probably keep it that way until they wind up putting this story in one of their collected editions. Yeah, I would highly recommend it. I will say, I don't think you need to know anything about Judge Dredd really going into this, aside from set in the future. He's a cop, but these cops are like empowered to just make decisions on the spot about like sentencing people. And then to carry out those sentences if they decide that sentence is to shoot you in the head.
I think it works great as a new reader. Like, even if I didn't know what very little I knew going in, it immediately gives you everything you need very naturally. Like, doesn't even need to do it in like a heavy, bogged down exposition way at all. You know, even just like the first couple panels of the first installment of it is an architectural wide shot that immediately sells the sci-fi future aspect of it. And I think it's all quite easy to follow. I didn't really have any troubles or confusion with any of it.
Yeah, Dredd is also, like, tropey enough that I think once you see the signifiers, like, oh, I get what they're playing with here, and then they just play with it. Yeah. But before we go in any further, we should just shout out the creative team. We have Rob Williams and Arthur Wyatt on the script. The art is by Henry Flint, and the letters are by Annie Parkhouse. I believe that's for every part. Yep.
Am I correct to assume the physical edition of this would be like the ones I've seen before, where it's the British comic magazines that are like much wider and taller than a standard American issue?
Yeah. Yeah. This definitely has that page aspect ratio.
That makes sense in terms of just like how much content there is per page, which was not a problem to me at all. Like, even in the way that it's formatted in the PDF, I think, you know, I don't have the physical edition to compare for sure, but it certainly seems like they've done a good job of digitizing it.
Yeah, yeah, it's aside from the 1-2-page spread, reading it in PDF form, I think is absolutely fine. I'm very much looking forward to getting that 2-page spread in the physical, because I can't imagine the impact that has after so many densely paneled pages for the whole plot, turning and getting that one like really big high impact 2-page spread. That's got to be a great page turn. So this is definitely something where I think if you get your hands on the physicals, great. I didn't want to pay for shipping, so I did not. Not from the UK, no thank you. If you are a listener who is in the UK, go and get these. You can probably still get them at WH Smith's or something. Yeah. Or, I mean, shipping for you probably be free, frankly, given how close it is. But on how many panels there are, so Henry Flint actually took, you know, mostly 6 or 7 panel pages as scripted and broke down the dialogue and the panels much further. So the number of panels per page is actually significantly higher than most Judge Dredd stories. This is a technique that's been noted in every interview and every review of this that I looked up and read, because I have mostly judged Dredd knowledge through liking the movie Dredd, the most recent one with Carl Urban, and Osmosis from my stepfather, who was a fan. So I felt the need to do a lot of research for this. I did, after reading this story, go, okay, I need to read more Judge Dredd generally anyway, because I really like this. So I went and I read the first volume of the Case Files, which is they've been collecting everything as released in big volumes that are just like good reprints. So I read the first volume of the Case Files, which is wild because the whole vibe of the story, it's so different than it is now, because it leans much harder into being very wacky. And the satire is far more over the top and far like sillier. Like, there's a big rebellion of robots led by a robot called Call Me Kenneth, because that's a funny name for a robot to have. And Judge Dredd has like a very thickly accented Italian housekeeper with like one of those Claremont phonetic accents written on the page. It's insane. And then more relevantly, I read the essential graphic novel, like a release that they do of like the really important Judge Dredd stories called America, which is all about that one focuses on a bunch of different times that Judge Dredd has come into conflict with people protesting to get democracy instituted in Mega City One instead of the judge's explicitly fascist, overbearing, punitive system of government. So to say that the series has like never dealt with political themes before would be an insane thing to say. But in this case, the story is about, rather than ideas of democracy versus fascism or anarchy versus fascism that a lot of Judge Dredd is very obsessed with, it is about the idea of defunding police to fund social programs as a method of improving society and reducing crime rates in ways that improve people's lives. The essence of the plot is that at the start of the story, this judge called Judge Maitland, who's an accountancy judge, like her job normally is like financial crimes. She was apparently introduced to the comic a while back by Al Ewing when he was writing Judge Dredd. I did also look at the collection they have that says it's Al Ewing's Judge Dredd stories, and they are all comedy stories that she is not in. So I'm assuming that there are just Al Ewing Judge Dredd stories that I don't know how to find that feature Maitland. But she, a year ago, had this radical idea that if you actually educate people instead of just sending cops after everyone, people will not do crimes if you provide for them and make sure that everyone has an acceptable standard of living and an ability to fulfill themselves, that most crime will stop. This is really like sort of exemplified in the opening page, which kind of parodies Judge Dredd. So one of the like notable things about Judge Dredd's world is being homeless is a crime. So if you're an unhoused person, that's criminal. And normally when you see a houseless person in Judge Dredd, it's Dredd going past them, stopping, going up and then going, 3 days ISO cubes for vagrancy. And then, you know, that person then has to spend 3 days in solitary, 3 weeks in solitary confinement, because all of the prisons in the Dredd world are just solitary confinement by default, because it has to be as fucked up as possible. But in this case, Maitland drives past someone who is, you know, clearly at the very least begging for money and in a bad state, and contacts Sector Services, which is like the social services, and they go and they're going to get them housed, because that's how she's running the district they've given her charge of. This is like a crazy thing to see in a Judge Dredd comic, and I've, as I noted, I've read very little Judge Dredd, but I am very well aware of the tropes. There's like, this is also, I think, calling back to a scene in the Dredd movie with Carl Urban, where Dredd is part of the scenes in that film that are there to establish the world, include Dredd stopping and like doing that exact scene that I just described with someone who's like begging on the street.
I mean, even beyond like specific view of just like in the context of Judge Dredd as an ongoing thing, I think just like as a visual and a clear indicator that something different is going on with police presence, you know, opening the story up with police approaching a homeless person is a strong decision, or is a effective decision of just what is something to give you the clear, immediate sense of a reform of, oh no, the cops are going up to this homeless guy. But then, shocker, they don't treat him horribly, you know, like that's a just like real clear way to immediately sort of give the sense that something unusual is going on besides or instead of just if it had tried to deliver the information, just like all exposition. This sort of grounds it and watching it play out in practice. Sorry, I'm tired after work. I don't know how well that came out.
Oh no, you're good. You're good. Yeah, no, I agree. The I just want to talk about the art to get some of it out the way because I think it's fabulous. It in terms of like the way people are rendered, it reminds me of like 80s Frank Miller a lot. As do I think the panel layouts. The dense paneling is definitely something that like feels to me like a callback to something like The Dark Knight Returns in terms of the way that the pages are paced. The intention with it, I know from reading interviews, was basically when he got the script, Henry Flint realized that it like it's a very talky comic, and Judge Dredd normally is not this talky, you know, there's normally a lot more action. And so the way to make all of these scenes exciting is to focus on people's reactions to everything someone is saying, and by breaking down every beat as much as possible so that the back and forth becomes like the riding part of the tension. And I think it's great. I really love the art here. I need to seek out other stuff that Henry Flint's drawn, because this is such like, it's such a perfect choice for this story. Because I agree, I do think that like, if this had been drawn, say, with the 6 or 7 panel layouts suggested in the script, then I just don't think it would work nearly as well. I think the pacing would be really off. But the breaking down of every beat so that basically nearly every line gets its own little panel, and the real focus on the character acting for the characters whose faces we can see all of, which I guess a note on Judge Dredd himself, for anyone who's not familiar with the character, he never takes off the helmet. That's a big part of the like the rule. He's not really meant to be read as a person, but as like a set of ideas. And so you can never see Judge Dredd without his helmet. That's just a flat rule. The Sylvester Stallone movie had him take off his helmet, and everybody hates that movie.
On that note, this is certainly the case in this specific story, but is it the case in the franchise as a whole then that they also largely avoid, I guess, like humanizing him with a life outside of the job?
Oh, he does not have a life outside the job. He doesn't know what that is. The most humanizing he ever gets is moments where they point out that he doesn't know what that is.
Does that mean that there's no compulsory heterosexuality afoot?
I don't think Judge Dredd knows what sex is. Unless it's
Love
related
to
a crime that he can hit someone over the head for doing.
Does Judge Dredd enforce anti-sodomy laws?
He would if they were in the books. I do not know if they've done a story. There's probably something somewhere, just because there's been so many. There's a lot of Judge Dredd that I do not know. But yeah, no, Judge Dredd himself, I would be very surprised if he's ever had a love interest. There's never, I don't think so. They maybe have teased stuff with him and Judge Anderson, who's like one of the like the main female sort of stalwart member of the series. She's successful enough that she's got her own ongoing comic in the Judge Dredd magazine. That's like similarly like the 6 pages an issue. I don't know how often the magazine's published. So that may be formatted slightly differently than the 2000 AD stuff, but I know she's got a regular like segment in that or in something. But like there never would have been anything concrete. No, that's just not what this character's about.
That's interesting to hear, like for a character who has been around this long and been in continual publication for this long, for them to stick to the beat of that sort of status as peer archetype and resist the temptation to flesh out those sort of aspects is interesting to hear.
Yeah, admittedly, a lot of that, again, this is sort of just me going off of my sense of things and from looking at it as a whole. A lot of that may also have to do with the fact that, like, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 people have been, like, who are, like, heavily involved with the character, have been involved in, like, most of the eras that the characters had. Like, the creator, John Wagner, has runs, like, early days in the 80s, through to like the 2000s. He's done like stories for the character. It's there's been a lot of heavy involvement from people who are involved from very early on all the way through like the 3 writers in the various stories collected in the America novel, but a graphic novel like collection that I read were John Wagner, Alan Grant, and Garth Ennis, who I know all have like significant and like multiple times have come back to the character, which I think also maybe helps with the consistency. And then everybody else who writes Judge Dredd is a fan of that earlier stuff and doesn't want to go against it. There's definitely a protectiveness of the character, I think, and of like the approach to how you do him.
To go back to what you were saying about the art, which the art was a large part of the draw of what I find appealing about it as a new reader. I'll echo just like how smart the panel and compositional choices are, in that just like the larger amount of panels helps so that the text doesn't become too intrusive, you know, like splitting all the wordiness across a larger amount helps it so that no individual panel feels too encumbered by it. And going back to just like reactions to every little thing, there's just a really good sense of motion where there'll just like constantly be these rows of like 4 equal or about equal size panels as characters like very slowly progress. I'm looking at one in the first installment of one of the characters just like slowly approaching and like looking at a hologram, and these sorts of just like relatively small movements are just really well captured here. You know, like there's a way that when it's done poorly, you know, sometimes comics can try for something like this, but end up with just like sequences where the lack of progression just sort of feels like overly stagnant, but that's not the case here. Like every little shift feels purposeful and conveys something.
Yeah, it's to the point where, like, in terms of the reason the story hits as well as it does, like, obviously the ideas originated with the two writers, but, like, the reason this story works is because of the way that Henry Flint chose to lay out the panels and, like, his skill in executing those ideas and in executing, like, the character acting, the appearance of the world as well. You know, almost every page has at least one panel which is like wide enough to capture a lot of like really detailed backgrounds. Sometimes there's really wide shots of the entire of like the megacity, and like it gives you a really great sense of place. It's another reason why I think this is actually a really good place to start reading a Judge Dredd's book, because like this is maybe the best way I have seen Mega City 1 visualized in the comics I've read. Like capturing like the street view of it and the size of the buildings and all the detail and grit and like in many cases the sort of urban decay of it. Like in the narrative, this is a city that spans I think from DC to like a bit above New York City is all just now this one city. And then I think in Texas there's Mega City 2. And those are the two cities left in America, and then everything else is a nuclear irradiated wasteland.
I think they do a really good job of making it still feel lived in. Like, there's certain sci-fi architectural art out there that sort of has a sterile feel to it, largely in context of like sort of future utopian sort of aesthetics, but this manages to still have sort of like classic sci-fi architectural shapes and like building construction and such, but it just feels lived in. Like, I guess a lot of that comes down to how much of this is explicitly like shots of large crowds moving about, and there's always something going on, characters shuffling about. A lot of it is riots, but yeah, it really feels like a city where all these people live, and everything is just all the more effective for that in terms of just like, you know, the political aspects of it. You know, there has to be a place and a people to be governed, you know, and we see just sort of like the bustle of life going on. I like how much we get of Judge Dredd and the judges like driving their like sci-fi scooters around. You know, the sort of Dredd equivalent of seeing the cop car drive by is another detail that, I don't know, maybe it's an odd thing to latch onto, but just sort of sells, again, their own place within the society. It's just like watching them weave in and out of it.
Did you just call the Lawmaster bike a scooter?
The Lawmaster?
That's the name of the bike. They're the Lawmasters. That's
okay.
But like, yeah, like the big silly bike. I love that. I love the focus on graffiti. There's graffiti shows up a lot. There's on I'm specifically now looking at like the title page for part 5, where Dredd is driving his Lawmaster over a bridge, and there's like a sunset behind him. It's a weirdly beautiful shot, and there's like a whole ton of colorful graffiti. It's great. It like captures some of the culture of the city as well as like the lived in. You know, it's not just lived in because the paint's chipped. It's lived in because, you know, people have put up art and then put up art over it and over it again, the layering of it. And then there's like characters graffitiing buildings, you know, with all the various slogans. I think that's a great like way to visually convey the mood of the city as well as like the age of it and the length of time that this sort of just has been the way everyone's had to live.
I'm honestly not sure before you specified if I knew that this was a story that did specifically take place on Earth. Like, I knew it was like a commentary on the United States, but I don't think I was aware that it geographically was in the United States, or like whatever technical, like the remnants, the geographic location of the United States itself.
Yeah, it's still America.
Speaking of
that's
America,
that's why they all have all the eagles.
Okay, that makes sense. I suppose I should have known. Yeah, that's a good point. The eagle imagery is very cool.
I'm surprised we didn't see the Statue of Liberty. I just assume it's nowhere near 304, but the Statue of Liberty shows up all the time because they've built the Statue of Judgment, which is a big statue of a judge, like behind it, that's even bigger and towers over it.
Okay.
Because it's never anything if not subtle.
Yeah. Speaking of America and things not being subtle, how about this, like, faux news Alex Jones ass guy?
If Alex Jones was the kingpin?
Yes, yeah.
That's so. Yeah, Glenn, Robert Glenn, which, I mean, I love it. Like, the thing is, you can't really, at this point, this is the only way to do a satire out of the people who actually, because they're already so cartoonishly evil in the real world. I mean, honestly, how do you even satire Alex Jones? You can't. It's impossible. There's no way to go too far with it. So, yeah, just do, like, a weird Sienkiewicz-style page where he starts eating the competition, literally, in, like, some bizarre dream sequence we get.
In part two, which I think is this character's first appearance, we get, again, like, rapid succession of identically sized panels with just like each one being him saying a sentence and then the next one being another sentence so that his speech is broken up into tiny and tiny pieces. And it works really well here in conveying just like the length of the broadcast and him as like a figure that's being watched, but also provides the space for Flint to do a bunch of different facial expressions, and not just that, but also little ticks of body language that help sell who this character is very well. You know, we get like not just the douchebag put on smile, but multiples of those with little slight variations, and the different things that he's doing with his hands to match the specific parts of his speech. Like, there's a real conveyance of him as a public speaker, an orator, like, you know, a propaganda performer, I think is very well conveyed within even just like his first page of appearing.
Yeah, he's new to the comic with this story, apparently. And yeah, I think they nailed it. And I agree. Yeah, that opening introductory page for him just gets, you know, the character by the end of that page because the art conveys the personality so well with Asami smiles. I like it would almost be a disappointment to see someone else drawing this character.
It would be a really intimidating bar to try and mimic, yeah.
To go more into the sort of plot of it, essentially, the comic kind of has two plots happening at the same time. One is Maitland dealing with the stress of the added responsibilities as it's clear that like the city council is trying to push her experiment to the breaking point in terms of just giving her too much to do and like overloading her ability to actually handle the situation. Like, so she's been running Sector 304 of the city for a year and had notable results to the point where they now know that her program would work. And so they're giving her an additional 10 sectors. So literally increasing her workload by over 1,000% to manage. You know, in like what's clearly just designed to break her. And while she's doing that, Dredd is mostly dealing with hunting down a convict called Major Domo. Not the X-Men character, a different guy who's responsible for some sort of atrocity involving Atlantis and is actually like maybe an underwater city that he destroyed that was like a future sci-fi city. But admittedly, Judge Dredd does have magic and aliens show up in it, so I guess it could be the Atlantis. I don't know. It's not that relevant. It's mostly just that that's what Dredd is sort of mostly concerned with in this story, as well as him actively trying to avoid being involved in the politics of everything because he doesn't do the, you know, Dredd has always thought politics were beneath him, as though his job isn't like incredibly political. We get Andy Zeit, who is an independent pro-justice vidcaster, and by that we mean he is a right-wing YouTuber. He's a joke about right-wing YouTubers.
Yeah,
And
he's crazy.
he's the character design leans into some of the sort of goofier visuals that you can get with Judge Dredd, which like, yeah, the series still has a lot of its like goofier comedic roots. Like even when it's doing a more serious story like this, you're still gonna get a character with glasses that are triangular and like the lens on each eye, the triangle is facing in a different direction. So his teeth are weirdly sharp. It's crazy. Like it's such a strange little memorable character design.
They're sharp and also look like they all have like slightly abnormally large gaps between them.
Yeah.
He is garish to look at, yeah.
He might be like a mutant because they do have like mutants in the by that I don't mean X-Men, I mean mutated from the radiation. Most of them come out with like multiple heads or like something like that. So there are sometimes just people who have like weird physicalities in Judge Dredd, and that's because of like the radiation. Although if he's pro-justice, he's probably anti-mutant, but like, but doesn't preclude him maybe being one, so.
I assume in this series, pro justice means pro the ruling system of the judges.
Yes, which are called that because they are judge, jury, and executioner. They are cops who have the right to shoot you on the spot if they decide that you've committed a crime worthy of that. Dredd's whole deal is he's very much like the letter of the law. So generally speaking, with the exception of some of the times when he's gone up against people who are attempting to get democracy instituted in the city, where he is far more likely to use underhanded tactics because he is so heavily opposed to the concept of democracy. But with the exception of that, he's like the guy who's, you know, he won't execute you on 99% certainty of a crime. But if he sees you doing a thing and he thinks that that's like, he's like, oh yeah, that's punishable execution, he'll just do it. So Zeit is, I mean, it becomes very clear over the story, intentionally set up by Robert Glenn to go into Sector 304, where, you know, the new like system is in place where there's less judges, more social programs. He lights a fire in a trash can and makes a big deal that this could like lead to anarchy and the judges aren't coming to stop him because there aren't any judges in the sector anymore. When a gang who've been hired by Glenn to attack him, you know, like nearly kill him. And Glenn is able to use this on the news as like a big boost to his ratings, because he wants to, essentially he wants to get higher ratings so that he can conglomerate with like another news channel and take over their operations as well. And so his way of getting this is by like taking advantage of the like new delicate political situation to get attention and get money by purposely fanning the flames to make everything worse, so there's a bigger news story, and playing on people's fears and anxieties, which, like, there is this weird thing in Mega City 1 where, like, yeah, sometimes there's an alien invasion or, like, a bunch of magical, like, demon zombie judges from another dimension come and try to murder everyone in the city and nearly do it, and so sometimes you do just need Judge Dredd to come in with a gun and shoot things. But, like, considering Maitland isn't even getting rid of the judges, she's just diverting some of the funding to, like, vastly improve the daily life of everyone. Like, this story succeeds in making you feel pissed off in the same way that watching the news makes you feel pissed off. Which is a big achievement, I think.
It manages the act of making its commentary, you know, still make sense and feel grounded within the context of the fictional world it takes place in, while still feeling relevant and similar enough to the actual real world issues that it pertains to, that you can still like read that into it, and like the metaphors don't just completely fall apart, like it still works on a literal in world level and also a sort of thematic commentary level. Yeah. Or I guess like cross, you know, like fiction, and I feel like there's some term I'm forgetting, but yeah.
It works metafictionally as well, I think, is maybe what you're saying there.
Yes, metafictional, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then there's stuff like the, in part 4, there's a vigil for someone who had been the victim of, like, a stray judge round, is what it says. So this is basically, this is someone who died in a police shooting. And that vigil becomes like the site of a counter protest from people who are like pro judges, which leads to a counter protest from people who want democracy. And then, you know, it just escalates from there. We get the counter protest, because Judge Dredd is nothing if not over the top with the satire. And like, this feels very true in universe, but is also like very directly reflective of real world things that we see happen all the time. In the case of the UK, I know there was, I want to say last year, there was a vigil that, like, sorry, year before last, while the UK still had some of the stricter laws about gatherings due to COVID-19, there was a vigil that was violently broken up by the police. In a very Judge Dredd-esque moment. At that riot, we have a really great scene where two of the street judges who are like pissed about Maitland's new program and their funding getting diverted into social programs, and you know, the from the judge's perspective, and this is very consistent throughout Judge Dredd, they see themselves as being at war with the citizens of the city. Like, they don't think of themselves as serving them, or even if they do, they think that the way they're serving them is by being at war with them and keeping them in line and in check. That's the way they view their jobs. And so they're like supposed to be loading riot foam to, like, I'm guessing that's like maybe a sci-fi expanding foam that stops people from being able to move or something. Doesn't matter to the story here. The point is that they agree that they're going to load the foam, but very slowly, because the side that support them are winning the big fight in the riot. And the lack of impartiality, that like Dredd at this point in universe is sort of like supposed to be, and normally he is like very impartial as a character. He spends a lot of this comic actively avoiding getting involved in the inner judge conflict and just going after criminals because that's the thing he knows how to do and the thing he feels comfortable doing. But seeing like every other judge character in this picks a side, the vast majority of them pick, you know, the shitty side that just benefits them. And the way that you see how like Maitland's attempts at new ideas and new concepts for these people are falling upon deaf ears because all of these characters are just so fucking ingrained in what they do, and they're so ingrained in like an us versus them mindset. It's great. I think they're all really well characterized. Like, even the characters where you're staring at them, you're just like, you're the worst. Like, so Hernandez, who's like the head of the street judges and on like the big council, he spends most of the story pretending to be supportive of Maitland's ideas while actively working with Robert Glenn to undermine them. And like, while his perspective is clearly wrong, I mean, as a point, the start of the story, the very first like line is pointing out that what Maitland's doing is working. You know, her ideas are good, they are correct. Like, the math clears. That's never in question. But like, his perspective still feels like you understand why he thinks the way he does, but then it's also all corrupted with his own personal ambitions. It like everyone's a layered, interesting, three-dimensional character, and I really love that. This story wouldn't work so well, and it wouldn't feel so tense if everyone, you know, was like a caricature in the way that sometimes Dredd can be.
I think the ways in which it is frequently showing how the reform efforts are being not just like opposed by aspects of the public, but intentionally sabotaged by facets within the government and the judges themselves is really important in terms of, again, the sort of like metatextual feeling like it's taking the subject matter seriously, and also just acts as another demonstration of how fucked the police state and governance of this sci-fi hellscape is.
Oh yeah. The judges have a like corruption rate that's even worse than like the Gotham City Police Department's corruption rate. Which makes sense when you think about the level of power that each individual holds, where they are basically there is like a secret, like there is an internal affairs essentially for judges, but the vast majority of these people are empowered to the point where they can commit on-site executions because they can just say they witnessed a crime. you know, the ability to become corrupt is so easy and immediate. And even without delving into the vast number of judges who work with organized crime, the clear fact that these people like having the power they have, they love it. You know, their iron grip on the city, the uneducated populace, the populace who are like unemployed in like the 90th percentile. That's what they want. Because if these people know anything, you know, they could take away this power that they have. It's the world is really like, obviously, this world is very like expansive. And you know the it's captured really well here. You know, it's not created in this comic by any means, but this comic is such a great like just snapshot of all of the like certainly the Justice Department, all of those parts of the Judge Dredd universe, which is the stuff that I'm most interested in. Whenever I read or anything Judge Dredd, I don't care about like the space aliens or the evil judges from another universe who killed everyone in their universe because they decided being alive was criminal. It's this stuff. It's the department, what they do, how they do it, why they do it, and like the failings of their system. So everything sort of starts coming to a head as the rioting in Sector 304, sort of incited by, like, is directly incited by Robert Glenn and his like coverage of everything. Him singling out Maitland. He at one point suggests she might be a total war terrorist, which is a total war is a group of terrorists from a comic that I read yesterday in that America graphic novel. Who like were killing judges because they basically were pissed about the various failed attempts at gaining democracy peacefully, like tying her to those movements, without any evidence. Like, I like Maitland in this comic. I think she's a really interesting character. I really want to read the earlier Maitland stories. She's got the same kind of thing Judge Dredd has, where she'll do anything. She'll stand completely firm whenever she thinks she's right, which is one of the few like admirable things you can say about Judge Dredd himself. And it's like why he respects her, because like a big part of this story is like he's basically staying out of this whole situation, even though he doesn't agree with the idea of like reducing the role of judges. But because he respects Maitland so much, he's willing to like let her try it. And his presence, his support of her is why she's even been able to get as far as she has. So she's also like again, because of the few number of Judge Dredd stories, she's a very different kind of character from the ones that I am used to seeing in Judge Dredd. You know, most characters that I see in Judge Dredd are like Dredd or Marquez. Or, you know, they're like over the top criminals like Major Domo. You know, and maybe some like obvious parodies like Glenn. And Maitland is like instead a character who's based entirely around like intelligence and moral complexity. You know, because she's, I would say, very clearly not interested in instituting a democracy, but she is interested in like a lot of other things that would be very good to see in this universe that don't exist. But she's only interested in them because they get results. Like, the better lives for the citizens is for her sort of, oh, a happy benefit. You know, improving people's lives means they commit less crimes. So that becomes a more effective way of fighting crime. And that's what it is to her. And, like, I like that that's sort of her perspective on it. She's still a part of the judges and that system, just coming at the whole like concept from a different angle.
I would be curious to see any like prior appearances she may have had before this in terms of just like her overall history or if there is an like ongoing arc as a character, but
This, I know this is like of like ongoing mentions of this like happening with her in the background. Like this has apparently been a part of a bunch of previous stories, including the one that involved Atlantis somehow. This is just what I've gleaned from interviews and stuff that I read because I wanted to make sure I did as much research as I could, and I was not going to be able to like trawl through and try and find all the single issues or try and figure out which collections have the relevant stories in time for this. So aside from reading the America stuff, which was like the most highly recommended Judge Dredd story, and reading the early stuff just for the context on the character and the comics version, because I'm more familiar with the 2015, 2014 movie with Carl Urban. But yeah, she's been apparently a major character for, I guess, at least a decade. But yeah, so the riots are getting worse to the point now where Dredd is called in to try and help stop them. Meanwhile, like Maitland, in a sequence I think is really cool, I can't tell for sure whether the art here in like some of these sequences where Maitland is looking at her computers and the room is then filled with like the output from them, I can't tell whether that is the way she is visualizing what she's looking at or whether it's holograms. I don't know whether they have like holograms like that in Judge Dredd. Most everyone else seems to be looking at a normal screen. Either way, I really like the way that that's visualized and the way that she's processing these. But she basically figures out that Hernandez is like secretly trying to go against her and is giving information to Glenn, which is how he's been able to exacerbate things and, you know, release information about their plans and get to like put his spin on it before they're even able to implement programs. But she doesn't have anything concrete enough to get him arrested. But like, she makes it clear that she's going to. And so, as the riots get worse and the entire like sector breaks out into fighting, Hernandez like secretly arranges the release of a criminal who Dredd had hunted down earlier in the story, Major Domo, who like wants to kill Maitland because there's like a bounty on her from, I'm guessing again, maybe this Atlantis story that Major Domo was apparently in before. I don't know. I don't think that this backstory is especially important beyond this guy wants to kill her for money. And so we get this, like, I think this sequence is terrific where Maitland, seeing the riot, how it's expanding, how it's, you know, now that this has happened, they're going to use it to stop her programs, you know, and that everything she's been working towards has fallen apart. She, like, runs out there trying to beg people to stop rioting when, for the first time, we have an image that doesn't, it doesn't just cover one page, it covers two. We have a full two-page spread, which after, as we said, you know, the page before that has 12 panels on it. You know, this is a very dense comic in terms of the panels and like the impact of a two-page spread suddenly hitting. That page turn is great. And it's of her being shot through the head by a sniper in the middle of this riot, with Judge Dredd in the background watching. It's a really good, like, the way that that's laid out, I think, is great. It has such a huge impact after so many dense, packed pages. This big moment just slowed down. It's like a slow-mo shot in a Zack Snyder movie, except it's not happening every 5 seconds, it's happening once at the exact moment that it's most important that it does.
I can only imagine how big and impactful the physical would be too with the oversized format.
Yeah, I'm getting this in the trade and I'm really looking forward to it. Because I already really like this story in PDF format where that page is split into the two-page spread is still split across two pages.
On the page before that, the one right before the two-page spread starts, I really like in the top row, there's two panels that split across her face in this shot of her like watching the riot progressing on a screen. And even though her face is the focal point, it doesn't split perfectly down the middle. It's like a bit more to the left than the right. And something about that is just really effective to me. Like, even beyond just like it's keeping the grid exactly uniform across the page, so the panels are all identical in size, there's something like just like slightly jarring about that lack of symmetry that is just like that slight little add to the visual tension of it that I really like.
Yeah, that's really, really great. And like it also helps the really short caption for the she's saying no in this as like she's because the captions are in third person, but also like frequently just feel like they maybe should be written in first person. I like the technique a lot. But like it helps balance it because I think if also that was like a perfect split down the middle, but having the caption in one and not the other would like make that feel unbalanced somehow. But here it feels balanced, but also the asymmetry adds to the storytelling and like the shock. And because of where the line is placed, we can actually read more of her face than if it was directly in the middle and it was cutting off like the middle of her lips. And like her mouth, it's just this great little subtle choice.
Yeah, we haven't talked a ton about it, so I'll also want to at least mention that the coloration is quite nice throughout as well. Like it adds yet another just aspect of the art that is pleasing to look at. I'm looking right now at the jailbreak scene with the like purely black and lavender sort of tone sequence as that character is like making his way out during the power failure of the jail. And like that's a nice like visual color palette scene unification. But even beyond that, across like most of the book in general, the colors are just nice to look at and add to the just like how visually pleasing it is.
Yeah, I love how gleamy all of the judges' helmets are. And I like the emphasis as well on like the shininess of their outfits at points as well. Like, 'cause the rather insanely the judges are all wearing like tight black spandex. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the color choices are just fabulous. And I like the realization of them as well, but there's this slight grittiness to the texture of all of them. And like there's a little bit of noise put in. Again, I'd love to see how this comes across printed as well. Well, I'm sure the texture works even better, but like the slight bit of noise added into the gradients just is excellent. I really before we go a little bit further than Maitland's shooting, the page that opens part eight, which is right before that sort of final escalation of the riots where the problems just get compounded on top of each other. Where we get this brief aside about a little girl who's growing up in Sector 304 and the way that like the change in the city has just affected her life, like the shift from the overbearing fascist police force to like a supportive government has affected her life, and then it ends with the blatant like police militarization visual with the judges rolling in to Sector 304 with all of their tanks. And there's this great panel of just this tiny little girl standing in front of this like marching army of identical judges, and then just these huge, ridiculous sci-fi tanks coming through on these big treads. Manages to capture like a lot of this story just in a single page and a lot of the ideas behind it. And like, I love the little bits of the city life that we get to see. A lot of that is sometimes just, as you said, like the scenes where we see Dredd especially driving through the city, where we get to see the sort of changes between 304 and other areas of the city that he's in. But I think getting some of the citizens' point of view, like we do here, is also vital and really contributes to how well all this works. But yes, with Maitland dead, the whole experiment is discontinued. At her funeral, they talk all about her work as an accountancy judge and not about the last couple years that she'd spent working on finding new ways of keeping people in the city safe. You know, we see that all of the computers covering all of the information and all of the results from all of her like work, as well as just her projective models of what would happen further down the line, are taken away by the the SJs, which I think are like secret judges, is what that stands for. They're the internal affairs. And it's all swept under the rug and made to seem as though it never happened at all. Then we get sort of two. Well, there's a couple codas. The one which I feel like is really worth mentioning. The guy who killed Maitland goes to like collect his fee, but it turns out that Maitland had hacked it. So that in the, because she knew that this guy was coming from, because Judge Dredd had told her. And so she had managed to, although she couldn't like deactivate the thing that would let him claim a reward, she was able to hack it. So that instead of getting money, his like location gets broadcast to law enforcement. And this comes immediately after a page where we see that a Mega City One journalist gets like delivered a parcel. And this guy is noted as being like perhaps Mega City One's last honest journalist. I don't know whether this character is like a regular character, whether he was made up for this part, but it's very I suppose it's the end of Watchmen where Rorschach's journal gets sent to that like awful right wing rag that he read, where you've got like this to be continued beat where like Maitland's dead and obviously the Justice Department isn't interested in her ideas or experimenting any further with the concept of not being a fascist police force that is overbearing and tries to control every single person in the city. But there's a chance that like the citizens could still find out about how well this actually was working and about like the potential for this to be implemented further. Like it's mostly just set up to allow like plot lines from this to continue further in the comics, but like I will be reading those comics when they come out. And of course everything worked out for Robert Glenn and he got to buy out the company he wanted to buy out. And so we end with a really great conversation between Hernandez and Dredd, where Dredd, he doesn't have any proof that Hernandez is behind Maitland's killing, but like, as it is to the reader, because it's not made explicit on the page that that's what happened, but it's pretty fucking clear that's what happened. And it's also really fucking clear to Dredd. And he goes and friends him because, like, Dredd is the guy who is going to act when he knows a crime has been committed. He's not going to do anything about a crime that is yet to happen. He's not going to do anything to prevent crimes ever because he doesn't care about that. And now that Marquez, Hernandez, why did I say Marquez? Now that Hernandez has committed a crime, Dredd's planning on going after him. And Hernandez, who is now like in line to become the chief judge after, you know, the street judges had given all of their money and funding and the focus of the city back, looks out over the city that he's like about to own. And that's the final page of the book. And like the only other time a single image is allowed to dominate a whole page. This is good stuff. Also, I love Hernandez's handlebar mustache. He's the only person with facial hair in this story, and it's great. It's so distinctive.
It looks good, yeah.
I imagine it's partly there so that if he was wearing his helmet, we could still tell him apart from Dredd, which is good because that can be the problem with Judge Dredd. Sometimes when all the judges put on their helmets, they all just look like Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah, was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not really. I think we hit it pretty well. What about you?
No, I'm good. All right, well, that was Judge Dredd, A Better World. Go and get that bundle off of the 2000 AD website. Get these PDFs. Or I don't know, whenever it's gonna get published, they'll probably call the trade collection A Better World because this will be the most famous story in that collection. And I bet the other stories in that collection will probably be good too. I imagine they'll collect stuff from the same writing team. That seems to be what they do, based on sort of what I'm able to glean from looking at it. And hopefully they follow up on this with some more good stories. Again, hopefully of Henry Flint drawing, because the art is just so good.
Oh, yeah, I would love to see more of this art again.
I'll need to see what else he's done. I know this is the first time he's done from, again, from interviews, but he's done this like approach to the layouts. But it also, like, part of that is that's so specific to this story and the way that it was written, and like the importance of the moment-to-moment character acting to like making it feel tense and interesting to read. So, yeah, I definitely want to check out more because I also just love the way he renders these characters. But yeah, what are we reading next week?
So next week kicks off the month of May, in which we are doing our first month devoted to all works by a singular creator, and who else would be the subject of our inaugural time doing that than Grant Morrison. And for week one of Morrison May, we are going to be discussing the 1993 Vertigo miniseries Sebastian O by Morrison and Steve Yeowell.
Oh, one I've not read yet. Excellent.
I also have not read it. I am following what I did last week with Ultimate Adventures and going, here's something that looks interesting and I want to read, and we'll find out together how it goes.
I assume that's on DC Unlimited since it's Vertigo.
May or may not be, but it's definitely on Hoopla in a collection that like pairs it with the Mystery Play, which is another Morrison book, but we'll just be doing Sebastian O.
Sweet. Well, looking forward to that. Looking forward to this whole month. We have some good picks lined up.
Yeah. But in the meantime, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Excellent to each other.